Welcome once again to Under Western Stars. I'm Tony Norris, your host. The wind is blowing through Donnie Park tonight with single digits, and it's cold. This is our holiday program. Let's start off with an all-time favorite, Gene Autry singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you'll go down in history. Shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you'll go down in history.
Buck Ramsey was such a fine entertainer. Wrote some beautiful songs, very fine poetry, and this is a Christmas song that Buck recorded a few years before his death. He called it the Christmas Waltz.
The winter is here and the old year is passing. The sun in its circle winds far in the south. It's time to bring cheer to a cold snowbound cow camp. It's Christmas tree time of the year for the house. Go ride to the cedar break rim of the canyon, down by where the river takes creek water clear, and saddle sleigh home us a fine shapely evergreen picked out while prowling the pasture this year. While fair strings the berries and popcorn and whatnots, and tie braids the wreaths out of leather and vines, old Dunder he whittles and whistles old carols and fills them with stories of fine olden times.
He talks of a baby boy born in a cowshed, all swaddled in tatters and laid in a trough, who growing up gave away all he could gather and taught us that what is not given is lost. It's morning of Christmas and long before dawning, the camp hands are risen to ready the feast. But with the fires glowing, they don warm apparel and go out to gaze on the star of the east. They cobbler the plums they put up back in summer. They bake a wild turkey and roast backstrap deer. They dollop the sourdough for rising and baking, and pass each to each now the brown jug of cheer. The dinner is done and they pass out the presents. Their three each they open with handshakes and hugs. Then Ty gets his guitar and Fred gets his fiddle, while Dunder and Fair laugh and roll back the rugs. The tunes that they play melt the chill from the winter as Dunder and Fair waltz and two-step along. They play, sing, and dance till the next morning's dawning. Then all of their slumbers are filled with this song.
For a number of years, I did programs in the public schools in Las Vegas, Nevada during Nevada Love of Reading Week. And here's a recording of one of my stories from those days. I call it The Best Christmas Dinner.
I have not always been a famous cowboy singer. When I was young, I used to work for the C.O. Barr Ranch. C.O. Barr was the brand that the ranch used. The ranch belonged to the Babbitts, out north of Flagstaff. Any of you ever been to Flagstaff, Arizona? You remember the big snow-capped mountains right next to Flagstaff? Well, the ranch was up north of these mountains. One day, the boss came to me and he said, "Tony, my best horse has run away. I want you to saddle up, trail that horse up into the mountains, catch it, and bring it back to me." Well, he was the boss. So I jumped on my horse and I started riding, following the trail of that little runaway horse up into the mountains. Now, where I live in northern Arizona, sometimes it seems like winter is never going to come. The days are clear and sunny. The nights are cool and good for sleeping. And it just seems like autumn is going to go on forever. It was just such a day. All day I rode through the aspen trees, and the leaves were turning golden, and the sky was turquoise blue. The bees were working on a few late summer flowers, and it was a glorious day to be horseback in the mountains. All that day I rode, and when the sun started to go down, I still hadn't found that runaway horse. But I came across a little log cabin. Now, this was a cabin that the cowboys used for a line camp. And when they were too far from the home ranch, they would stay at this little cabin. They kept it stocked with some groceries on the shelf, a big stack of firewood. So I put my horse in the log corral, and I went into the cabin, built a fire in the fireplace, cooked myself some dinner, crawled into my sugans, and fell fast asleep. When I woke up the next morning, I had two surprises. The first surprise was that my horse had broken out of that old rotten log corral and run off and left me 35 miles from the home ranch afoot. But I wasn't worried. I knew that he would head back to the ranch, and when he got to the ranch, some of the cowboys would back trail him and bring him to me. But the other surprise that I had was that it had started to snow. Now, at first, the snowflakes were only the size of a dime. But while I stood there watching, they got to be the size of a quarter, and then the size of a silver dollar. And I knew that I was in trouble when they got to be the size of a dinner plate. The snow began to stack up. I went in the cabin and I closed the door. And in no time at all, the snow drifted up against the door and I couldn't open the door of the cabin. I sat there and watched as the snow drifted past the window. And I knew that I was going to be there for a while. But I wasn't worried because I had plenty of firewood. I had some groceries on the shelf. And I had a nice, tight, snug little log cabin. So I knew that I would come out okay. I got into a routine. Every morning, I'd get out of bed. I'd build a fire in the fireplace. I'd cook myself some breakfast, and then I would go over to the cabin door. I would take my hunting knife, and I would cut a notch in the doorpost so that I could keep track of the passage of time. And time did pass. The days went by, and I began to run out of firewood. I started to burn the furniture in the cabin. I burned the kitchen table and chairs. I burned the bunk beds. I burned the entertainment center. And I began to run out of food. One morning I got up, and all I could find in the cabin to eat was just a little bit of dried oatmeal and about that much of a box of soap flakes. Well, I built up the fire. I put some snow in my frying pan. I set it over the fire. I added the oatmeal. I added the soap flakes, stirred it up, and when it was ready, I ate my breakfast. I started hiccuping bubbles. To this day, I do not like the taste of soap. After I ate my breakfast, I went over to the door and I started to count the notches that I had cut in the door. Do you know, it was Christmas Eve. I had been stuck in that cabin all that time, and it was Christmas Eve. I thought, I am so hungry. If I could just get out of this cabin, maybe I could find a rabbit or a squirrel, or even get a shot at a deer or elk. And then I'd be in good shape. I had an idea. I took my rifle and I shinnied right up the inside of the chimney all the way to the top. I stuck my head out of the chimney, and as far as I could see, in every direction, it was white. The snow had covered everything. The only thing sticking through the snow was the top of a ponderosa pine tree, about 6 or 8 foot sticking out of the snow. Now later I went back and measured that whole tree, 367 foot tall. It's how deep the snow was. Well, as I was looking around, I heard a sound. It was a wild turkey flying low across the horizon. Well, I threw up my rifle. I aimed just as careful, and when I pulled the trigger, the temperature dropped. At 714 degrees below zero, I pulled the trigger and my rifle went. The bullet went about that far out of the end of the barrel and froze solid in the air. I looked over at that wild turkey, and that wild turkey was froze solid in the air too. I was discouraged. Well, I thought, at least I can get warm. I climbed back down the chimney. I had saved a little three-legged milking stool. I chopped that up. I laid my kindling, struck a match to it, and my fire began to burn. And just when my fire was perfect, the temperature dropped again. 4,681 degrees below zero. My fire froze solid. The flames looked like they were made out of glass. They were little hard red and green and blue and yellow things. I got so upset, I picked up the poker and I started to beat the fire. And when I hit it, the flames shattered. And there were little bitty pieces of broken flame lying all over the hearth. Christmas Eve. I knew that back at the ranch that they'd be making preparations for the big dance they always had on Christmas Eve. I knew that at my mama's house, she'd be baking pies and cakes and cookies, decorating her tree and getting ready for Christmas. Christmas Eve. I didn't have any food to eat. I didn't even have a fire to keep me warm. Christmas Eve. For a while, I was about the lonesomest cowboy in all of Arizona. But then I had an idea. I said, maybe it's Christmas Eve, and I don't have any food to eat, and I don't even have any fire to keep me warm. But it's Christmas Eve, and by George, I'm going to have a Christmas tree. So I gathered up those frozen pieces of flame and I filled my pockets. Back up the chimney I went. I walked across the surface of the frozen snow until I came to that little tree sticking out of the snow. And using those pieces of frozen flame, I began to decorate the tree. All the way around the tree I went until my pockets were empty and the sun was going down on Christmas Eve. Well, I went over and sat down on the chimney to survey my handiwork. The tree was beautiful. I have never seen a lovelier Christmas tree. I sat there in the dark and I watched my tree twinkle and sparkle and shine, red and blue and green and yellow. I sat there for hours until I began to get cold. And then back down the chimney I went. I crawled into my sugans and fell fast asleep. Sometime in the night, I was awakened by the sound of a great wind blowing. It was the sound of a warm Chinook wind blowing in from the Rocky Mountains. The temperature began to rise. Soon I could hear the sound of running water everywhere. And when the sun came up on Christmas morning, I was able to open up the door, walk out in the muddy yard. I was looking all around when, bang, I heard a sound. I looked up just in time to see my bullet start to move. Slow at first and then faster and faster, my bullet zipped across the sky. Just as that wild turkey thawed out and began to flap its wings, the bullet hit it. It was mortally wounded. It could just make it to the top of my Christmas tree. Just then, the frozen flames began to thaw out, and my Christmas tree went whoosh. I looked up in the sky, and through the smoke and the cinders, I could see something falling end over end out of the sky. A perfectly roasted turkey. Oh, that bird smelled good to me. I sat down on the porch, and I ate that entire 35-pound turkey. I ate everything except the gobble. The melting snow was causing flooding. And a short distance from the cabin, there was a deep canyon. I walked over to the canyon and I looked in, and the melted snow was running bank full, floodwaters just racing by. As I stood there watching, a big dead tree came floating along, and without even thinking about it, I jumped out on that tree and I grabbed a branch in this hand and a branch in that hand, and down the mountain I went. Faster and faster and faster around the curves, I was flying. The flood washed me out. In downtown Flagstaff on Aspen Street, right in front of the downtown diner. I went into the diner, I sat down on the stool, I ordered the biggest piece of pumpkin pie that they had with whipped cream on the top of it. And that was the best Christmas dinner I have ever had.
Here's Arizona's official balladeer, Dolan Ellis, singing the song Rock Springs that I wrote with Lon Austin and Dean Cook several years ago.
Well, it was snowing up in Flagstaff, and we knew that the desert would be hot. So we crawled beneath the blankets. The dog always got the warmest spot. It was 2 days to Christmas when we climbed into the back of Dad's old truck. 8 hours down to Phoenix if we don't run out of water, tires, or luck. And we'll stop at old Rock Springs, where the water flows so clean. Cool water in the desert is a thirsty traveler's dream. And we'll stop at old Rock Springs, where the water flows so clean. Water in the desert. is a thirsty traveler's dream. From the shade of Oak Creek Canyon up to the Cleopatra Mine, a second breakfast down in Mare on old Highway 69. It's a dusty road, Cordes, then on down to Bumblebee. We're headed down to Grandma's, and we've brought the Christmas tree. And we'll stop at Old Rock Springs, where the water flows so clean. Cool water in the desert is a thirsty traveler's dream. And we'll stop at Old Rock Springs, where the water flows so clean. Cool water in the desert is a thirsty traveler's dream. Today I'm headed down for Christmas. Black Canyon Freeway I will drive, with my kids just like I did when I was young. Grandma was alive. When December winds are blowing and the trees are covered white with snow, we'll be headed down for Christmas to the desert down below. And we'll stop at Old Rock Springs for that pie we love so dear. Ah, the memory that this stop brings of our Christmas trip each year. When we'd stop at Old Rock Springs, where the water flows so clean. Cool water in the desert was a thirsty traveler's dream.
Thank you for listening to Under Western Stars. We appreciate our sponsorship from the Museum Club in Flagstaff. Merry Christmas and a very happy New Year.